We're on session three of reviewing some of the things God did said last year in a view to be understanding where we are this year. Sons of Issachar, 1 Chronicles 12:32, of the sons of Issachar, men who understood the times with knowledge of what Israel should do. And we really need to understand the times and seasons that we're in. And God wants us to understand what we should do. And it's not just what he does, but he's calling us to be involved with what he's doing. Our calling is to be forerunners, therefore we need to embrace that and then equip others to follow the seasons and the times that God is preparing. So we've been looking at following a prophetic timetable for the last 5 or 6 years. I believe we're at this point where we're in the judgment of God, of God's household, in cycles of judgment, justice, grace, and mercy. And I believe that's in preparation for the coming harvest of laborers, which is not the final harvest. It's a billionfold harvest. We received a scroll, taking responsibility for our part in that, both for the harvest and for raising up a Joshua generation of mentors who would help equip that harvest when it starts to come in. And a lot of what we're doing in last year and what we're going to be doing this year is actually preparing for that. Last year was the year of the lion, 2015. Our focus was on governmental order and establishing government and how the kingdom, which is all about kingdom and government, is at work. This year, God said that it's going to be the year where the lion and the eagle function together in an arc of agreement. That means we're going to see not just the governmental order in place, but the legislative order functioning together. And legislation is where we use or make laws and enact those laws to bring God's rule and his kingdom into place. And he's called us as his children to be involved in that process. So legislation is going to be a key word for this year, and an understanding of that and what we do with it is important. Putting that in context, Romans 8:15, you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption. As sons, we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. So we've been called and adopted into God's family, if children, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. So if we're an heir and a fellow heir, we have a part to play in his family, in his kingdom, and in his government. Verse 19, for the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of sons of God. So everything that's been created is waiting for us to come into the maturity of our sonship. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that creation itself will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. So we must come into our glory and freedom to be able to bring the whole of creation into that. And that's what the government is about, bringing restoration of all things back into God's original purpose. So our destiny is to be fully restored sons of God with access to heaven and our heavenly Father. Jesus is the only way to the Father. You can't come to the Father in any other way. There is only one door, and it's through Jesus. Jesus said that people will try and get in another way, but there's only one way. Ecclesiastes 3:10 says, he has made everything appropriate in its time. He has also set eternity in their hearts. So there's something about where we were created and who created us that's drawing us back. Some people describe it as a God-shaped hole, an eternity-shaped hole within us that cannot be filled with anything else, as much as we might try to fill it with things. Only God can fill it, and actually only an eternal perspective and engagement with God can fully fill that hole. And God is drawing us, and that eternity in our hearts is drawing us back into our position in heaven. So Hebrews 6:19, this hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, one which enters within the veil. So Jesus has gone beyond into the realm of heaven, where Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. So heaven is now open, not when we die, but now, because Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us. And if we're going to learn to legislate and operate in kingdom government, we need to access the realms beyond the veil. Hebrews 10:19. Therefore, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. And since we have a high priest, great high priest, over the house of God, let us draw near. So we've been invited to come into the heavenly realms, into the holy place where Jesus has prepared us to come. John 10:9, I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and go in and out and find pasture. That is where we go in and out. We go in and out of the realms of heaven so that we can actually see those things on the earth. But the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. So we have a battle. We have to subdue. We have to overcome. We have to administrate the kingdom and the government of God into our lives and into the world so that we can bring it back into correct order. Jesus said, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. So God wants us to have abundant, overflowing life. Don't let the enemy rob you of your inheritance to receive that abundant life. It belongs to you beyond the veil so that it can come into the earth through a gateway of your life. Matthew 5:10, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's like, that isn't just a prayer that we used to pray in school. It's God's purpose for us to establish the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. We get to establish the as it is in heaven as sons who legislate. Zechariah 3:7 describes the process of that. Zechariah was a high priest. He was in heaven standing before God and standing before a court. It says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, if you will walk in my ways, if you will perform my service, then you will also govern my house, have charge of my courts, and I will grant you free access among these who are standing here. So God is wanting to give us access into the assemblies of God. Psalm 82:1, God takes his place in his divine council. In the midst of the gods, he holds judgment. So he's calling us to be involved in a place of his divine council where judgment takes place. Another scripture, Psalm 89:7, a God greatly feared and revered in the council of the holy ones, to be feared and worshipped, fully reverent above all those who are around about him. So it's not about the angels, it's not about everything that's around God in that realm, which is counted, it's God himself. Once we start to engage in intimacy and we come beyond the veil, we can come into the councils of the Holy One. Jeremiah 23:18, who has stood in the council of the Lord that he should see and hear his word? So if we really want to know what God's heavenly purpose is, we need to come before the councils of God. He's made a way, but we need to mature and process through that way. Hebrews 12:22 says, you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to myriads of angels, and to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant. We have come. In other words, it is open for us to continue in that place. I want to read this from the Passion Version, which I found a really, really interesting expression of something which I believe God is calling us to. Enter into the heavenly realm and take your seat with me. We will live above the fray. By passing into my presence, you will enter the realm of divine love, a perfect love that will cast out every fear. Come as close to me as you want to be. Choose the place nearest to my heart, the place of deepest love, and I will reveal my glorious secrets to you. It no longer matters if you're alone in your sacred quest, for I will cast out loneliness from your heart. I will draw you deeper into my ways. I will meet every need you have. I will be your holy friend and faithful lover. You will discover that I am enough. Others will come and go, but you will linger and stay with me in sacred solitude. Enter into my holy ecstasy, joining of two becoming one. Fuse your spirit into me, and you will experience what only my sacred lovers know. For I am satisfaction beyond any pleasure. I am companionship beyond any fellowship known on earth. Enter into my cloud-filled chamber, and I will give the wine of my love, the joy of my heart, the peace of my kingdom, and the power of my spirit. You will come, become the echo of my heartbeat, as two hearts beat as one. Sacred union in my chamber will make you a dispenser of mercy to those who mistreat or misunderstand you. Come and sit with me on my mercy seat where my love is enthroned. Since we are receiving and expanding an unshakable kingdom, we should be extremely thankful and offer God the purest worship that pleases his heart as we lay down our lives in absolute surrender, filled with awe, for he is like a fierce fire that consumes everything. Now, if we actually entered into what that was describing, we would see a change and transformation, not just in our own lives, but in the world in which we're called to administrate as sons of God. So God is calling us to come beyond the veil. You cannot get that relationship here. You can get it there, then you can release it here. As sons and heirs, we're called to engage in kingdom government and legislate in the courts of heaven. It's like, you're not just going to jump into a court and just know what to do immediately. It's a process of maturing and learning and growth. But to be effective, we're going to need to know God's heart, his mind, his will, to know his precepts, his statutes and laws, to know how to administrate his ordinances. He's calling us to be involved. Now, for too long, we've just sat in the seats, listened to someone speak, and not been involved. And it's like God wants each of us to be involved in what he's doing on a daily basis. Your life will make a difference to this world. If you don't fulfill your destiny, who is going to? God has called you with a destiny and a purpose to be involved in eternal things. The precepts are his eternal nature and the essence of who God truly is. Righteous, holy, just, loving, light, relational. The statutes are the way his precepts are outworked in the foundational detail of how everything is ordered. The laws are the principles of all government and how everything works together based on his precepts and statutes. And God wants us to know those things so we can use those in how we administrate and legislate, just like he does. I shared last week that I was called to present a case before the Heavenly Court of 70. Presented the case for judgment against the old Moses order. The basis of that case was governmental. Does the earthly church government reflect heavenly government? A verdict was given and cases for justice, grace, mercy were presented. And I shared judgment and justice last week, and I want to share grace and mercy this week. But the day after that verdict for that judgment case was given, something very significant happened. The governmental structures of that old Moses order began to come into the light with a very public issue. I'm not going to go into the specifics, but very publicly, in a very well-known worldwide movement, someone was renounced for following weird beliefs. Now, that wasn't the issue, whether the person was following weird beliefs or not. The issue is what it unveiled. And what it unveiled, the stance was taken over that issue of not coming under the covering of men. But it polarized opinion. Loads of people within the church community backed up those who made that public announcement, and many other churches started to come out and make public announcements as well. It polarized opinion. A lot of other people defended that person because he was very much on the cutting edge of new order things. So there was a whole issue that arose the very day after the judgment was made, because light was brought out. What it exposed was the denominational structures of system of coverings in that Moses generational government system. Because the coverings of men stop people engaging heaven and engaging God for themselves. So that polarization of the old and new took place, and we start to see accusations of Gnosticism. There was persecution. People were told you can't listen to certain materials, like people like Ian Clayton or Justin Abram and others. You can't listen to that because they're false, it's Gnostic. You start to see the old begin to attack the new, because now the coverings had been removed and God was starting to move. Later on in the year, an issue with the same person comes into the light again. Many people used it to affirm the stance previously taken by the Moses generation. Ah, I told you so, they were right after all. That's what they took, the stance, missing the point that it wasn't whether this person was right, but the principles that got unveiled of government. This time, God used this situation to expose New Age influences seeking to infiltrate the order of Melchizedek. Because there are a lot of people out there who are seekers of truth, and they're really gullible. They'll believe anything without testing it and weighing it against the biblical foundation and the true knowledge of God, Jesus being central to that. So judgment starts to release justice. You suddenly start to see God begin to unveil and bring light into situations. On the 7th of November, God spoke to me and gave me a mandate. And I'll share the first part of it. It says, God, son, you're authorized to open the realms of revelation to reveal destiny and purpose. Then it said this, son, the veils between the dimensions are being prepared for multidimensional incursions. Set the watchman at the gate to guard, protect, and defend. Now, I had no idea what that meant. But being obedient, I set some watchmen to guard a gate. And as I didn't think anything else, that was it. Did what I was told to do, forgot it. But then on 28th of November, during an online conference by the same person that I was referring to before, New Age influence that were infiltrating the whole New Order were exposed. And the planned incursions actually got revealed. 200 believers, and I put query there because I'm not sure what state a lot of them were in, but there are a number I know who actually are true believers in God, who accepted what was being said, and they came into agreement in a prayer to open the West Gate and to invite beings into our dimension. Now, if they were angelic beings of God's order, I wouldn't have too much problem, but actually that's not what was being invited through. The URL for that conference was called Opening the Western Gate. That was the gate that God asked me and others to put a guard on. This prompted a whole explosion of things on the internet, particularly on Facebook and in Facebook groups. It exposed a whole load of New Age people who had infiltrated Christian Facebook groups and were carrying completely wrong teaching doctrine. It revealed deception and it revealed gullibility. Now, I'm not sure whether gullibility was a word, I had to look it up, but well, it is. But there is a sense where those who are seeking truth are gullible and open if they don't have a solid foundation of Jesus in their lives. We need to have that solid foundation. And this wonderfully actually caused a lot of people to come out and make clear statements of how the centrality of Jesus is to the Christian faith and to the whole Joshua generation and order of Melchizedek. Jesus has to be central. He's the only way you can come to the Father. And a whole load of beliefs that have been wandering around for the last couple of years, which I personally had been quite concerned about, now got exposed, and people now began to be on guard and be more careful about what they were believing. Not that we shouldn't be looking for progressive revelation, we need to. We need to look for fresh revelation of who God is, unveiled, going deeper and deeper, but Jesus must remain central to that. He is the only way we can come to the Father. You can't come through any other religion or any other God. You can only come through Jesus himself. But he has made a way for us to come. Don't fear coming because you might fear, oh, no, I might get deceived. Now, just make sure that Jesus is central to everything you do and you won't be deceived. Because Jesus said, if you ask the Father for something good, he's not going to give you something bad. But we ask the Father through Jesus. We can't ask God and what God might be, not through Jesus. Because if you're asking God, what God are you asking? And this is the problem. A lot of people were asking of God, and it actually may not have been the Father they were asking. Because we can only come to the true God and Father who created us through Jesus himself. So there were others that it transpired that God, through dreams and other things, had warned about this gate. Because it was really, really important that this gate was not opened. The West Gate, when I started to ask God about this, because having done what I did, and then I saw this come about, I wanted to know why this was so important to guard this gate. And he actually told me that this gate had been opened twice before in a negative way. But this time he'd put people in place to stop it being opened because of the significance of it. Now I want to share the two occasions where it was opened just to give you an insight into some of the things that can take place if we're not legislating and bringing government into the realms of heaven. In March 1918, Aleister Crowley, who was an English occultist, used something called the Amalanthra working, and he opened what he called a vortex gate that links physical and non-physical world. And he invited a class of being to come through that gate, and he called it Lam, and it was an entity of being. And he drew a picture of what he saw. Note this was 1918. Before UFO lore and any of that stuff and the X-Files and all that stuff were out there. So, subsequently, he shut that gate because it actually freaked him out. Then in January the 4th to the 15th in 1946, Jack Parsons, who was a rocket fuel scientist, a very well-known and respected guy within circles, and L. Ron Hubbard, who later founded Scientology and Dianetics, used the Babylon working to open an energy gate and a dimensional portal. This was actually the same gate that they were trying to open at the Tower of Babel. Remember what happened before the flood? There was an incursion of angelic watcher angels who created the Nephilim. So after the flood, Nimrod, others, which is the sort of start of the whole Babylonian system of religion, looked to open that same gate. And God came down and confused it all so they couldn't do it. So the West Gate must be guarded, and actually, then we can use it properly. Because we have access to use the gateways and portals to go into the realms of heaven. Bill Johnson, Jim Goll, and Julia Loren wrote some books about some of these supernatural experiences. They call them the shifting shadows of supernatural power and experience. And they share some of the accounts of the things I've been talking about. Nephilim Scargates is another book which unveils many of the counterfeits which are now counterfeit of the real. Because there are portals. Jesus has opened a gateway for us to go into the realms of heaven. So there is a legitimate way that we can come through him. But Jesus said that people would try and come illegitimately and open other gates, which is what went on in this situation. Now, fortunately, God guarded this. Because if he hadn't have done, a whole load more gullible Christians would have actually welcomed and got involved in those beings that would have come through those gates. So it's really important that we learn to understand our role in it. We have a portal out there on the stairs. And when we had the revival meetings and things open, that portal was open. And there were fragrances and smells and other things that were coming through that gate. Once those meetings ended, God told me to shut that gate and to stop anything coming through that gate illegitimately. And I maintain an angelic guard on that gate. There are people who are sensitive to these things, who came up the stairs and couldn't get any further at times because they hit that gate when it was open. Now, we will eventually be mature enough to use that gate and we'll reopen it. But right now, we need to learn how to legislate and govern as sons of God and be mature in understanding these heavenly things. Not just naive and accepting everything that's out there, but let's seek these things through Jesus and the Holy Spirit who will guide us into the truth. And then God said this in the same mandate, the veils once removed will allow many to travel into the mysteries that have been interdimensionally hidden and return with this new discoveries when the discovery house, which is one of the 12 chancellor's houses, has been aligned and opened. There are things in that beyond, God calls them the mysteries hidden in darkness, that are there for us to discover and bring into this realm. And there were some amazing things I saw when I went into that house and saw into those mysteries. And God is basically saying he wants us to learn how to re-engage that. Son, days of awe and wonder are being made ready for those who are willing to be prepared. God wants us to be prepared to be able to do and handle these things. The alignment of the circle of the deep will release cycles and seasons of unprecedented change and transformation in my people and in the physical realm. For the mountain of the house of the Lord to be elevated to Mount Zion, great shaking and quaking must take place in the systems of men as they become basically mere hills. Every other governmental system is a mere hill compared to the mountain of the house of the Lord, compared to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. So I was directed to present these four cases before the Council of 70. Now I'm sharing them because I want you to use the verdict that was given and the calls for things to come into place in your own lives and those who are listening around the world in different places, in your own ecclesias, in your cities of refuge, so you can use the authorization these things release. So on the basis of judgment, that verdict was given. I was asked to present the case for justice. On the basis of justice, the case for grace to be released. And on the basis of grace, I presented the case of mercy. So the grace court case. This is what God said. Prepare grace as a case for the release of the measure of the full stature of Christ. So the mantles and weapons of authority can be released to mature sons to equip them for supernatural kingdom administration. You have the mandate, now prepare the case. Grace is the supernatural, divine, enabling power of God. You know, people have acronyms for grace, and actually it doesn't really mean what God means by grace. When I first went into the realms of heaven, God described and showed me grace within the fabric of creation. See, grace is the vibrational strings of energy that's present within the substance of all things. It's what keeps us in existence. Grace is the zero-point energy that holds the fabric of creation together. 1 Peter 4:10, serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God, or the multifaceted or multicolored grace of God. Because there's so much more to God's grace than what we have known and what's been taught to the church up till now. And in one sense, there's a whole thing out there of cheap grace. Well, grace just gives us an excuse to sin. It really, really doesn't. Grace enables us not to sin and gives us the power to be sons of God. It's not an excuse. If we're sinning, we need to repent and renounce, not use grace as a covering. Well, I'm under grace, not under the law, so it's okay now. It isn't. And if we continue to go the way we're going, then we'll continue to get the results we've always got, which are not good. God wants to bring something new. So let's embrace the grace of God. So grace on the basis of the precepts of God in eternal order, freely you give your very nature, and it's overflowing, generous, and lavish with your abundance. Your nature in creative expression released to your children. Generous, loving Father, blessing your children with your divine ability, empowering them to prosper, to succeed at the highest level of sonship. Empowering your children as joint heirs of the kingdom responsible for the creation order. So I presented this case on the 23rd of August, 2015. I present before the Council of 70 the call for the manifold grace of God to be prepared for release by the convergence of the governmental spheres. Grace on the basis of the precepts of God in eternal order. Now, don't try and get caught up with the language or understand it. Wait until we get to the bits that you can use. Grace on the basis of the mandate to tend, cultivate, to multiply, subdue, fill, and rule. On the basis of what are the eternal precepts of love, joy, and peace. A call for the mantles and weapons houses to be aligned, what was into what is, to release what will be. I call the manifestation of the glory of the sons of God. This is what we need, the glory of the sons of God revealed. A call for divine wisdom, knowledge, understanding to be released. A call for the full manifestation of the seven spirits of God to mature the sons of God. A call for the revelation of sonship in the hidden mysteries within the fire stones and the sapphire cube to be released to the sons of God. And some of you have encountered some of those places. A call for the release of the knowledge of the ancient ways and paths to be opened to the sons of God. A call for the ancient secrets of light, sound to be restored to the sons of God. A call for the manifold wisdom and grace of God to be restored and released to the sons of God. A call for the governmental authority of lords, kings, sons, kings, scribes, oracles, legislators, chancellors to be restored to the sons of God. A call for the Joshua generation to arise. A call the Joshua generation to come out of the prisons of obscurity into governmental positions to establish cities of refuge. A call for the exposing of false governmental systems. A call for the light to shine intensely. I call for benches of 3, 7, 12 to rise up into their heavenly and earthly positions of authority for cities, areas, regions, nations, tectonic plates. I call for mantles, weapons for the Joshua generation. I call for order, order, order. And there are three levels of order which need to be established in everything, because three is the fullness of government. I call for the divine abilities of God to be released to his children. I call for agreement that the greater works be unveiled and that the restoration of truth, of the truth of sonship, come forth. I call for the grace to know, see, be, do, and go. I call for sonship, the maturity of the order of Melchizedek to function. I call for the mantles of weapons of grace be prepared and released. I call for the new order government to be established on the grace of the old Moses generation to see those new landscapes of eternal promise. God wants to reveal to the old something new. He doesn't want to leave people in the wilderness. You know, he didn't want to wipe out a whole generation. You know, they died in the wilderness because they refused to cross over into their eternal inheritance. He was offering them the opportunity, showing them the promised land, giving them a good report. Don't listen to the bad reports that people will give. The enemy is always going to promote bad reports so that God's children will be fearful of coming into their full inheritance. Don't allow that to rob you of yours. I call for increasing grace, for visions, dreams, the sound of heaven and angelic visitations to call into the wilderness. I call for the removing of grace from the old government of the Moses order. I call for a famine and a feast. Let the old be revealed and exposed to the light of the truth. I call for greater grace and manifold grace to be released. I call for the equipping of the Joshua generation with the new mantles of the four faces of God in governmental order. I call for grace to call the sons to their mountains. I call for grace to open the courts of heaven. I call for investitures and successions in preparation for enthronements. I call for grace for the oracles, scribes, and legislators to be unveiled and the chancellor's seals to be released. I call for greater grace of the voice of your power to be given to the new order, royal priesthood. I call for the frequency of grace to be tuned to the patterns of the old order. Let the shaking begin. Now, once you get resonance between two frequencies, something shaking happens. I call for the holy discontent to rise as the government of the old is shaken. There are multitudes of people out there in the valley of decision who are starting to get a glimpse of something new, and it's stirring in their hearts something that is, there's got to be more than this. There's a cry going out, there must be more than this. A lot of us have presented that cry in our own hearts. And it's out there. We have to begin to start demonstrating what is more than they've seen before. I call for the absence of true spiritual authority within the old to be exposed. I call for the sound of greater grace in all its manifold expression to be released and the angelic companies be released. I call for the alignment of the circle of the deep to proceed. I call for the ordinances of what was to be positioned ready to converge. I call for the mantles of greater grace be brought out of the mysteries into the light of his countenance. I call for the living stones of the new order to come forth from the rubble of the collapse of man-made structures of the old Moses order. We're in a cycle and a season of justice. We must prepare for the seasons of grace and mercy that are coming. And if we're not ready, then they'll pass us by, because we're called to establish them. Then, essentially, I started to prepare the case for mercy. I stand in eternity in the place of intimate connection, unveiling my mandate for the course, cohort of 70, in the case for mercy. I stand in what was in the womb of all creative thought, free from all sin distraction. I stand in the fullest expression of love, light, life, in full alignment with the precepts, statutes, and laws of God, in eternity. So, a description of what I felt while I was standing there. I look for what was to be released, will release what will be. So I started to shift from temporal to eternal thinking and priorities and desires. I see the awesome wonder of who I am in true eternal perspective, and I started to embrace that in a completely different way than I had done before. So I started to accept the eternal reality of my true sonship and fully yield to it without reservation, with a full assurance of faith. Because a lot of these things, I got no idea what I'm doing from a cognitive perspective. I allow my spirit to engage God and my spirit to release some of the things that I share and some of the things that God inspires me to do. So on the basis of the full identity of the eternal, infinite God, I call for mercy, the fullest expression of God's desire to express love to his children. I call for mercy as the expression of the Father's heart, the Son's sacrifice, and the Spirit's creative energy. I call for mercy as the fullest expression of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I call for mercy on the basis of God's and the court's judgment, justice, and grace. I call for mercy in accordance to the alignment of the 12 houses of the circle of the deep. I call for mercy on the basis of the evidence of the state of the bondage of God's people to the religious institutions of the Moses order. I call for mercy on the evidence of the state of the earth and all its dimensions in bondage and subdued by the enemy, the liar, the thief, and the destroyer. I call for mercy on the basis of the earth and all creation subjected to futility and groaning in bondage to corruption. I call for mercy on the basis of death, decay, and destruction to which creation is suffering in the darkness of deception. I call for mercy on the basis of sickness, disease, death, that both God's people and the lost and perishing are suffering. I call for mercy on the basis of God's heart and desire that none would perish and all would come to a knowledge of the truth. I call for mercy on the basis of the finished work of the cross, the blood of Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and the better sacrifice. I call for mercy on the basis of the new order of Melchizedek, the Joshua generation, being manifested sons of God on the earth as it is in heaven. I call for the weapons house to be open to the sons of God to administrate mercy onto the earth. I call for the scrolls house to be made ready and the mandates and assignments for mercy to be prepared. I call for the harvest of harvesters to begin. I call for the blueprints for mercy to be released and the foundations for New Order Ecclesia, cities of refuge, to be established. I call for mercy that a new generation of legislators would be released. I call for the preparation for the rising of the Jesus generation. I stand in what was enveloped by the precepts of God in true mercy. I am moved by the compassion of God's love to call for mercy at an unprecedented level to be released onto the earth. I call for the explosion of light, a supernova of revelation or encounters through dreams, visions, supernatural encounters with angelic messengers. Let the destiny calls go out to the are-nots, the have-nots, let the foolish confound the wise in the world's eyes. I call for mercy upon those who have no hope and no expectation of mercy. I call to the North Gate and I call to the New Age and the occult practitioners to encounter true mercy and love. I call for mercy to be released on God's enemies to become his friends. I call for Sauls to become Pauls amongst the enemies of God. I call for Damascus Road encounters with light and fire. I call for Emmaus Road encounters of true mercy and love to be released into the religious institutions of men. I call for mercy and the revelation of the light of the true Jesus to be released into the old Moses orders through the unveiling of the eyes blinded by tradition and religion. I call for mercy upon the old Moses order in the wilderness. Let a new release of light, sound, and frequency go forth to cause resonance and create a hunger for more. I stood in the court of 70, presented the precepts and the evidence, and called for the outworking of the verdict. God said, "Son, you have presented well. The court hereby authorizes you to release what will be. Know well the times and the seasons will cycle around the earth as legislators come into position. Judgment was the thrust of the last season. Now justice will release grace and then mercy. These four cycles will cycle in days and weeks and months and years in the places that are truly administrated from heavenly government. Son, raise up those who will take their places seriously, make my desires theirs, those willing to take their destinies seriously, who will sacrifice the temporal to prioritize the eternal. We are in a four-year cycle of justice, judgment, justice, grace, and mercy, and there will be cycles within cycles within cycles. As days, weeks, and months, judgment, grace, and mercy cycle within justice. So we're in a year of justice, whereas we can administrate judgment, grace, and mercy whenever they're needed. Because we may need a week of this or a month of that. We need to start legislating in these cycles to see God's grace and mercy released. Mercy and judgment and justice will cycle within the next thing of grace, which is coming next year. Judgment, justice, grace will cycle through within mercy. See, God has given us authority to set the times and the seasons. We need to understand how to do that. So we need to be like the sons of Issachar, who know the times and seasons and will know what to do. Not just panicking as all the world flails around like headless chickens when all their systems of government start falling and collapsing. We need to stand up and have the answers. That's why we have to establish cities of refuge. You will not be governed by the things of the earth, but will be governed by the kingdom from heaven, a heavenly government to establish health and wholeness and blessing. And all the seven mountains that we've been given authority for, fully functioning together in a city of refuge, seeing people rescued out of darkness, brought into light, and then sent back out with the power of God to extend and expand the kingdom of God. We must be legislating from heaven into the earth. Son, align the houses in revelatory expression that will release the call to chancellors to come forth. We need to see greater numbers of higher level of authority released, and chancellors are the era that God wants to raise up in the realms of heaven. Once you are clear in your understanding by engaging the firestones once more, and I went back to the firestones last year several times, the 12 laws which I shared of the laws of heavenly government, the laws from Zion, will be unveiled in the court of the councils of the fathers. And I went there to receive those 12 laws. I call forth a support network to be in place for each time zone, for each parallel, longitude, latitude, each region of the world. I call for an oasis in each region for explorers and pioneers to find refreshment of understanding. I call for a network of wells to be dug and lights as beacon fires to be lit. Last year, here we established some government with our benches of 3, 7 and 12. We invested all our seven mountain spheres of government with benches. We began to focus on learning how to legislate. They're now working within the Engaging God program, 11 or 12 legislative groups around the world who are learning to legislate. Legislation is the call for us to learn. As a bench of 12, we took 3 laws into the Chancellor's Court for authorization last year. We did that to set a pattern of how you establish law. I sat down, actually, when we went into the Chancellor's Court, I actually sat down on the bench and added my seal to the scrolls. And I didn't say that, but actually Nigel saw that. And he saw me doing that in that realm because I'd been given a Chancellor's seal. And God wants to give more people Chancellor's seals. Sometimes when I'm sort of standing at the front, sort of with a glazed look, I'm not really here. You know, when we're in a time of worship, you know. And because we are under an open heaven, because we have access to the realms of heaven, I often go to the Chancellor's Court when I'm standing here, and I begin to adjudicate as part of a bench, and cases are presented by others. And sometimes those things are agreed, and sometimes actually they're not, depending on what's been presented. See, God is calling us to take heavenly responsibility for what's going on the earth. So we have produced those laws, and now we have the authority to legislate those laws. So I'm going to release them today. The first law that I made in the realms of heaven, I went to the court of kings. Wisdom took me there. I had no idea what I was doing. I sat at a bench, which I was very surprised at because I'm normally standing in front of a bench. I sat there and there's this scroll, empty, in front of me. And out of my spirit just released this law. And it just got written on the scroll, the law of fatherhood and sonship. And that was the first legislation that I actually produced rather than using. And then this year we've produced the laws of inheritance, restitution and recognition. Our seven mountains have declarations that they are legislating with, and they are working on other new laws. Because we have a number of revealed laws that we're yet to enact and put into record. Because God is releasing legislation for us to use, giving us authority and power, and enabling us to start administrating the kingdom. So this was the law of fatherhood and sonship. I decree in the court of kings the law of fatherhood and sonship. I call forth the spirit that turns the hearts of the children back to their father. I call forth for a new dimension, intimacy and relationship in sonship. I call forth the alignment in the spirit with the four faces of God. I call forth a new dimension in revelation of the ministry in that alignment. And that was a few years ago, and that's why we've been able to produce legislation. That's why we've been having the four faces of God engaged here with us, why the seven spirits of God are active and the different angelic beings, because we have a law that authorizes us and that to take place. So let's use that. I decree in the court of kings those things. I call forth that, again, just to reiterate it, the law of inheritance. from my covenant with Adam, and this is God speaking, you are my adopted sons. Every blessing is yours. Your inheritance is the kingdom of God in all its fullness. Your inheritance is the right to rule and subdue. On the foundation of the righteousness of God as your inheritance, you are hereby authorized to engage my heart in eternity and know who you are as my sons. You are authorized to open the scrolls and reveal the sum of my thoughts for each person who is within your shielded environment. You are authorized to be fully restored and to release the full restoration of all the promises of the new covenant. You are fully authorized to see and be the fullness of your identity as sons of light, with fire in your eyes and a sword in your mouth, radiating transfigured glory. And that's the preamble or the context of the law. And God showed us a pattern. You have a context, you have the law, then you have what you can use the law for. So this is what the preamble was. God was saying, you can use this. And then what are we called to operate? The law of restitution. You are hereby authorized to engage Satan's trophy room, to plunder it of men's destinies, the fallen mantles of men, and the generational heritage that has been robbed. You're authorized to demand seven times to be recompensed for yourselves and all you're responsible for. You are authorized to equip each person to know their rights to restitution and to know how to get restoration. What the enemy has stolen from you, he shall be cursed. The law of recognition. It is decreed by the Father that all creation must and shall recognize and acknowledge your position and royalty. You are hereby authorized to open an access to the garden of God and to the true revelation of eternal sonship. You're authorized to unveil the eyes of those who have been blind to their eternal destiny, identity and destiny. You have the divine authority of the manifold grace of God to reveal the sound, fragrance and frequency of each person's image. All of us are called to rule and establish heavenly government. There is no exception if you're a child of God. If you've been adopted into God's family, as it says in Romans, then you are now children of God and heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. You can opt out of that responsibility and you can enjoy all the wonderful soaking of intimacy with God and all those things, but actually you will never fulfill your destiny as sonship unless you take responsibility for that government that you've been called to. It may just be for your own life or your own seven spheres of influence, or it may be wider and wider because there's no end to the increase of his government. Unless you begin to take responsibility, you'll never know where it's going to go. We're all called to bring judgment, justice, righteously. Therefore, we need an encounter with love. We cannot administrate the kingdom if we do not encounter love, and love being God himself. So to legislate the laws of fatherhood, sonship, inheritance, restitution and recognition, we need to engage in love. So if we are going to legislate God's kingdom on earth, as it is in heaven, in righteousness, we must encounter his love. Now I'm reiterating this because it's absolutely vital to everything that I've shared before. If I hadn't engaged in love, I would not have been able to release what I did in the way I was able to do it. God wants us to encounter his love. God is love. Love is eternal. Everything in the kingdom of God is about an expression of his love. Let's really engage with that love today. As we engage in a time of worship, as we engage, open up your hearts to experience love at a level you've never experienced before. Allow God to touch you at a level you've never allowed him to touch you before. Let his love penetrate all those barriers and all those layers that you've put up, all those defense mechanisms and coping mechanisms and external things that you've had as a shield to protect yourself from life, let God remove it and let him demonstrate his true love. Let God's love transform us today. Now I'm going to make some declarations and then we're just going to go into a time where we can engage God in this. I call for judgment, justice, grace and mercy to be released. I call for the legislation of sonship, inheritance, restitution and recognition. I call for the love of God to be poured out. I call for love bombs from eternity to be released from the weapons house, exploding into our hearts. I call for the eternal love between Father, Son and Spirit to be poured out into our hearts. Transformational love flowing out of heaven. I call for a new dimension of love beyond measure and understanding to be released into our lives. I call for greater grace, manifold grace, and grace upon grace to be released. I call for mercy that triumphs over judgment, flowing out of heaven into our spirits like a stream flowing into our hearts. I call for love stronger than death, the song of all songs to be released. I call for the love that we can never be separated from, that will never fail and never run out, to be released. I call for God to manifest his full presence as love, like a rushing wind, like a tsunami wave, wave after wave of unquenchable love. Be open to receive that. Open up your hearts. God wants to give you that love because he's calling you to take responsibility to bring restoration to all things. Receive that today and embrace it. Amen.